Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness. We'll be responding to your email questions and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
I'm great.
Great.
Yes. I'm, as I like to say, having more fun than probably a human being should be allowed to have.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Great. Any details you want to share with us about how much fun you're having?
Is it legal? Is it moral? Is it? Yeah.
You're exceeding the speed limit.
That's right. We are having a building retreat at the monastery.
Yes.
And every day I get to get up and put on grubby old clothes and my carpenter's belt and go down and build.
Wow.
And I was thinking about it. I just came up in time to do the show, and I sat down in a very comfortable chair, and I thought, ooh, that could be a mistake. I could nod off before the show is over, so
uh-huh.
Not to yell at me if I do.
Uh-huh.
But I was thinking that I this is the kind of fun I used to have when I was a monk.
Uh-huh.
And I realized the importance and the beauty of the monastic lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
Where, you know, you just work hard all day doing good stuff and eat well, and you're out in the fresh air and the sunshine when the sun is shining, and at the end of the day, you know, you just go to sleep and sleep like a baby.
Wow.
And it's lovely. So I'm having a grand time. We're a week and a half into the retreat. Yeah, this is Tuesday of our second retreat week.
Yes.
And the project that I'm on, although, you know, I have to have my hand in everything because I'm a busybody. And
you're a what?
A busybody, and I'm nosy by nature and,
yes.
You know, stuff like that.
Yes.
And so I have to go around and see all the jobs and what everybody is doing. But the one that I'm primarily on is building one of the offices, and
uh-huh.
We just raised our first wall this afternoon, so we're very excited. Now, we have two offices that are being built, and so there are two teams.
Yes.
And, so my team built the floors for both of the buildings, and then the other team started framing. So started framing behind them, and they're probably tomorrow going to put up their third wall. And started on our second one. So, yeah, it's very fun. And then, you know, we're just redoing two of the hermitages practically from the foundation up. People will now know to ask for those hermitages specifically. Adorable. And just all kinds of things. Anyway, I wrote about it this morning, and we're putting it up on the web, so if anybody's interested in seeing the pictures and following along, they can do that.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Following along with the building.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to put up the pictures and every day, and, you know, or not every day, but write along about what we're doing, and then there'll be the pictures to go with it. And
that sounds fun.
If people can come to the retreat, at least they can know what we're up to.
Yes. Yes.
And then we found out something very exciting. You know, we're in this big sustainability push.
Yes.
And one of the things that it gets very hot in California, as you noticed,
yes.
Along about, it's not hot right now. It's absolutely gorgeous, but ordinarily it would be hot now and would be that way through September. And so we have a swamp cooler, as you know, that cools off the meditation hall.
Yes.
With our new energy system, we found out that there are these air conditioning units that take 1/20th of the power that the swamp cooler takes.
And wow.
It's very, very low, you know, it's very energy efficient compared to air conditioners, you know.
Yes.
So we're excited about those. Of course, they cost $650 a pop. But, you know, doesn't everything that's really fun and cool.
Yes.
But anyway, we're going to get one of those as soon as we can for the meditation hall, and then we're going to look into them for these little offices so that our, you know, our little office workers and computers don't burn up during the summertime.
Yes.
Just a lot of really fun stuff going on.
That's great.
Yeah.
And it seems to me like there's always a lot of really fun stuff going on.
Well, you know, one of the retreatants left last week, and as she was leaving, she laughed and she said, "This is a really busy place." And it is, you know, people have this image of monks, you know, just sort of meditatively walking around meditating. And,
yeah.
And of course, we do that. There's no doubt about it. And we also do a lot.
Yes.
And a retreat like this really, really shows it up where people are, you know, there are a lot of people there. And so there's a lot of folks going around doing this and that.
Yes. Yes.
That's very
good. And as I've heard about working meditation and my experience of it, it's staying in the mind of meditation while I'm doing whatever I'm doing.
Yes. And it's great because, there are all kinds of opportunities. You know, some people get a job and they're basically by themselves. They're doing, you know, they're working in the garden. And so they just have extended periods of time to just be with themselves and pay attention.
Yes.
And then other people get a job where, you know, they're on a crew, a building crew. And then you have the opportunity to try to stay focused in the midst of things moving around really fast, and you know you're having to keep up and make decisions and that sort of thing. So, and we try to sort of move people around so they get some of each of those experiences.
Yeah.
And but it's great. I remember some of the happiest days of my life were spent clearing manzanita at the monastery where I trained.
Uh-huh.
It was winter time, and I would take out these big manzanita bushes or trees or whatever you wanted to think of them as.
Yes.
And put them on bonfires, and you know, I'd be out there in the rain and working, and it's so quiet and so beautiful and everything smelled so good, and it's just happy times.
Great. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, let me give out the phone number here. Phone lines are wide open today. You are more than welcome to call in if you're listening to us here. Phone number is toll-free in North America, 866-613-1612. If you're further away than North America, you can reach us at 001-858-268-3068. And again, the phone lines are wide open. So whatever's on your mind, if you have a question, an issue, thought you'd like to share, please give us a call.
Yeah, we might have some folks call in from last week. They might have been thinking about or having some experiences with peace this week that they'd like to let us know about.
Yes. 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 We had a show last week on what is peace, mm-hmm. which was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, I have an email question here.
All right.
Dear Michael and Sherry, thank you for the wonderful responses to my two questions. I have a clearer understanding of not socializing in Sangha. I have been going to one of the two Sanghas in Santa Cruz. After meditation and Dharma talks, I leave. No one has so far questioned why I'm not joining them for tea or chatting afterwards. I'll just see what I say when they do ask me. I've also noticed something else about myself. I've caught myself many times when socializing, not in Sangha, saying things and reacting in ways that the center doesn't intend to. I think meditation is helping me bring awareness to this. I'd be chatting with my housemate, and then all of a sudden, after saying something, I get back to the breath, and immediately a disassociation occurs, And I realized I've been operating under a personality, and it was that personality that was speaking. Then I usually hear myself say, quietly, quote, oh, how interesting, unquote. How fascinating. Truly, things are a lot clearer when I get back to the breath. Now, I do notice, too, that it is quite hard for me to be fully aware when chit-chatting. The only times I've been able to get back to the breath is when I stop talking and just listen. So fascinating. Gasho from a listener in Santa Cruz.
Right. It's all true, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's only when we start doing an awareness practice that we realize how much time we've been spending in unconsciousness.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that sounds funny to, and it could sound judgmental, and I don't mean it judgmentally at all.
Yes.
It's just that I think if you walked up to the average person, whoever that is, and said, do you think you're conscious or unconscious? I bet they would say, well, I'm conscious.
Yes.
And yet, when they start practicing awareness, they realize that there are great, huge, long gaps in the day when there's just nobody there. They're operating out of conditioning, and they are completely unconscious.
Yes.
We say things in unconsciousness. We do things. You know, people get finished with whatever period of time, and somebody says, "What have you been doing?" And people have no idea what they've been doing, or somebody says, "You know, when you said," and you want to yell, "No, I didn't say that. I would never say." And then as we start to wake up, we realize, "Yeah, I probably did say that." And yeah. So then we start realizing the kinds of things that the writer is talking about, how difficult it is to stay conscious while chit-chatting. It's next to impossible for just about everybody. And the person who can stay conscious while talking is not, generally speaking, chit-chatting.
Uh-huh.
Chit-chatting, I think, you know, that's the definition of chit-chatting. It's just kind of an unconscious, shooting the breeze, filling up time, superficial.
Yes.
That's what chit-chat is, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
You know, if you're having a meaningful conversation with someone, you're not chit-chatting. So
right.
It kind of points at unconsciousness.
Yes.
Now, and then when we're actually communicating, still, it's extremely difficult to stay present while talking.
Yes.
So as the writer says, then you stop talking and you're just listening to the other person, and you can stay sort of present.
Yes. Yes. Sherry, it reminds me of you talking about the steps of sort of first being present to ourselves in a formal meditation environment, which is perhaps the most structured and easiest to be present, and then sort of standing up and walking around with people and being present, and then finally attempting to be present while in communication with someone.
Yeah. And even within that, again, it's one thing to be listening.
Yes.
And another to be talking.
Yes.
Which is why we are so focused around our practice on reflective listening.
Yes.
Because when we do reflective listening with somebody, we give them a chance to hear what they're saying.
Yes.
Which we don't often get to do, because people will catch on to the fact that when they're listening to somebody else, in the beginning they're not really listening. They're just kind of waiting for the person to get to the end of the sentence while they figure out what it is that they're going to say when the person stops talking.
Yes.
So then when you really focus on listening, you're not thinking about what you're going to say, but just sitting there listening, people are shocked at how much they hear.
Yes.
And they're really present.
Right.
And then we start talking, and we do the same kind of process. So I'm not listening to myself. I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next.
Right.
So when you reflect me, then I have a chance to hear what I'm actually talking about. And it can be illuminating.
Very illuminating.
Very helpful.
And it takes, as you're talking, it takes the I or the ego out of the conversation in order to be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. We kind of come back to center and just listen, come back to center, speak and hear reflected what we're saying. But if we are going to chat, then there's that going unconscious and just going up into get conditioning, and conditioning just prattles on, and I'm not listening and you're not listening.
Yes.
It's kind of like watching TV.
Exactly. Sherry, we have two callers on the line here.
Right.
I'd like to welcome Rebecca from Austin, Texas. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey, Sherry.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing well. You?
Oh, I'm fine, fine. Hey, you know, I guess it was last week or so, you sent out a letter from Living Compassion about this need to know, keeping informed and watching the media and how it's a race to the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And that, I guess my conditioning or, I don't know, something just really reacted into that. And I'm so glad that you do this radio program so I could call in and talk about it, I guess.
Good. What happened?
Well, what came up was this this kind of, I don't know, two things. One is wanting to follow your example and not read the paper anymore. At least that's what it interpreted as following your example. And one is this voice of, well, I have to read the paper because I my job requires it. I have to know what's going on. There's got to be a way to do this. There's got to be a, you know, kind of this insistence that we can't really just not be informed.
Right, which is based on the assumption that what we're getting is information.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was kind of back in the back, and then way back in the back of my mind was this, well, I wonder how else you can be informed. That didn't get much airtime.
Right.
But, yeah. So I guess, you know, I was really caught up in the content, and I wanted to ask you, so how you get informed and how you, what you do read, you know, so that's partly interesting to me, but partly interesting to me is this process of how, what, you know, how I immediately went to there's a problem to be solved.
Uh-huh. Kind of a but.
Yeah. But wait. This can't,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know that little thing? I don't know what it's from, but. It's encourages people, if you're getting ready to say something, and then there are these three little things. Is it something? Is it kind? Is it necessary?
Huh.
You know that? Or Michael?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, I can't. There are three of them, and I can't remember what the third one is. But if we just go with the is it kind, is it necessary, if we look at the information that we're taking in, and if we were to apply that to it, I wonder, with most of the stuff that we're informed about, mm-hmm. how much of it would fit.
Yeah.
And even if, forget kind, is it necessary? You know, did it really help me? Is it something, does it make my day better? Does it make my relationships better? Does it make me more productive at work? Does it make me a better citizen?
Yeah.
And I really wonder how much of it would stand up under that kind of scrutiny.
And in the absence of some other kind of form, like if I want to find out what the city council's doing, or if I want to find out what the, you know, what the developers in my city are doing, the newspaper is pretty much the main form that information is put out, unless I want to go do a bunch of meetings with all these people face-to-face and, you know, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like
that would be an interesting experiment, wouldn't it?
Wait, say that again, you cut out.
Well, it would be an interesting experiment to go to a meeting and then hear what's reported.
Yeah, oh yeah. So you wonder how reliable or just recognizing that everything is a perspective.
Oh, yeah. So with the email question that just came in. There, you know, one person is talking and the other person is listening.
Yeah.
Okay, and then how much does each hear of what the other is saying? Then add the projections of somebody who is there observing it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to run it through all those filters and forget any ambitions to make this kind of interesting or edgy or sexy or any of those kinds of things. Just somebody's perceptions.
Yeah.
And that you would be trusting that person and their perceptions to give you good information.
Yeah. Well, then what's coming up is then this question of, well, then how do we be a community? If we choose not to communicate in all the, you know, it's like you put your faith in this institution or this means, and if you don't do that, how do we communicate with each other?
And yet again, how much of it do you really participate in reading somebody else's projections?
Oh, right. That was a big assumption in there, wasn't it?
Yeah. And see, I think that's what keeps us from being a community.
Wow. So, say that again.
I think that that's what stands in our way, is that the people that we turn to interpret the world for us are not doing a good job for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Because news that's interesting tends to be inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you write a story about this group of good citizens is trying to do this thing for the community, and this is what's behind it, and this is what they're trying to accomplish, and then this other group of good citizens objects to that because of this and this and this and this, now that would be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know the last time I got that kind of information.
Yeah.
What I get is a slant. It's a spin. It's a, the kind of information that the person writing the article wants you to have.
Well, and what I've seen, because we're often trying to get our actions and our work in the paper, you know, to get the kind of the public recognition of our organization.
Uh-huh.
And what I often get is the slant needs to be dualistic. It's like, you know, there needs to be an antagonist and a protagonist, and it's like there has to be,
right,
dualism in order to sell papers, and that's fine unless you happen to be doing a spiritual practice where you're trying to live in a non-dualistic way, you know.
Right, yeah. And that's just it right there. That, to me, that's the whole point. Do you really need to have all of that dualistic information in order to do what it is that you want to do in your community?
Mm.
You know, yeah. I go to my heroes, you know. I don't think Gandhi needed to read a paper every day to find out what people were doing in order to decide that what he wanted to do was support nonviolence and use a nonviolent approach to freeing India.
Yeah, and if he had relied on the newspaper to find out what the British's next move was,
or even what the Indians' next move was,
yeah, and he'd be kind of behind the game and out of luck.
Yeah.
Is this phone cutting out? Do y'all hear me?
I'm hearing you just fine.
Okay, because we're having some thunderstorms in the area, so I just
Yeah, and of course, I also wonder, and, you know, I'm glad that you're looking at this. I hope everybody does, instead of either just saying, oh, I think Sherry's right, or I think Sherry's full of baloney, but to really look at it, I wonder how much time people spend in this entertainment information,
mm-hmm,
that actually keeps them from participating.
Oh, yeah, that's really huge.
So how many things in my community could I actually participate in if I didn't have to watch 2 hours of television a night?
Yeah.
Or read X number of magazines and newspapers?
Well, you know, what else I've noticed this has brought up for me is in that, and I'm kind of worried about it a little bit, to be real frank, and that is that I can read all of the murders and the horrible crimes and everything, and there's just kind of this numbness, or you know, it's like I don't really, I don't go to outrage, and I don't go to, I just kind of go to, yeah, that's kind of the human condition. This happens. And I usually just skip over those stories to the ones that I feel like are kind of relevant to what I need to be reading. But I'm kind of wondering if I'm just getting numb or if that's even...
you know, that's not a part of it that I put in what I sent out to people. But yes, I really wonder if, as human beings, what's happening to us is that we are becoming so desensitized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many people can get blown up somewhere, and how many would it take for people to actually go out into the streets and say, enough, we must address this. As human beings, we must address this. But we have so much information that horrible stuff, it's just... you know, it's like you get a statistic on how many dogs were euthanized today or how many cats were euthanized today, even how many people died on the highways in the U.S. today, or how, and it's just another fact. I really fear that we are losing our ability to feel and care.
And you know what the pseudo Zen, the kind of the conditioned response says when I went to that little. What I just said was, I'm getting numb, is, well, you don't want to go to outrage because that's not very, that's just one end of the dualism. That's just one side of the dualism.
Yeah. And, of course, any time we listen to our conditioned mind explain to us how we should be, we know we're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, but the helpful thing is I was believing it, so now I can see that it was conditioning.
Yeah. So really, back to your original premise, or your, you know, the issue that you were looking at, what would support you in bringing as much energy and enthusiasm and willingness and caring to your job as you can possibly muster?
Hmm. What would that like look like now?
Yeah. Would it be living on a constant diet of what's wrong and not enough? Or might it be focusing on things that keep you supported and energized and enthusiastic? And
well, you know, what occurs to me as you're saying that is it's not, you know, getting the information of what's happening in a way that engages me and I am participating it seems like the most supportive and helpful things. So in other words, reading the paper or watching the news is very passive. You know, I get to be the spectator.
Right, although it can be emotional.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or not, depending on how numb I am that day.
Yeah,
you know?
It can be the kind of thing where if there's a particularly outrageous story and it's presented in a particularly inflammatory way.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Right. It can push some buttons.
Yeah.
And how skilled the writer is at doing that.
Uh-huh.
You know, so another alternative is then to look for ways for my own participation in exploring my own curiosity, because that's really what's at the root of my wanting to read the paper, is curiosity about what's going on.
Yes.
And so it seems like there are other ways to find that out.
Yes. To explore your own curiosity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It could also be really interesting to engage in, just say, reading the paper or watching the news with an eye on yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
What is being affected? How am I feeling right now? What kinds of thoughts am I having? What do I feel like before I do this? What do I feel like after I do this? What are the voices saying? So do it like a little workshop.
Well, and ever since you wrote that letter, that is how I've been doing, and it always kind of short circuits to, well, that's just because of what you just read of M. Sherry's letter. You know, it's like, it just kind of short circuits the whole looking, but that, you know, but that is, do you know what I mean?
Looking at is that kind of information, right?
Say it again.
what you want to be looking at is that kind of information.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're keeping an eye on those voices as they create and interpret and maintain a reality for us.
Mm-hmm. And in a whole new, in an emotional world
yes.
for us.
Yeah. All right. Let us know.
All righty. Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to break now, and we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Coming up next in our second half of today's Open Air show, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness. We'll be responding to your email questions and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, I found an answer to your question that came up in the last conversation.
What's that?
Before you say anything, ask yourself, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary?
Aha. Uh-huh. Boy, is it true? That'd be a stumper, wouldn't it?
You'd be stopped right at the beginning.
Yeah, that puts most of us in silence most of the time.
Yes. Sherry, we have two more callers lined up.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Lisa from Philadelphia. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good
evening. Hi,
Michael. Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
Oh, it was hard to hear you for just a second there. Well, I would like to talk about something that I've been looking at, and that is it kind of goes along with this whole idea of not being informed.
Uh-huh.
What I've been looking at is, so in my life, I've been learning a thing that I've been working on for myself is learning to advocate for myself and learning to trust myself
uh-huh.
and learning to turn inward when I'm looking for an answer as opposed to looking outward and trying to ask for advice from other people or see what they think or bending to other people's opinions. I've really been trying to build confidence in trusting myself.
Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, win, lose, or draw, you're the one who has to live with you after the fact.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And so for a huge portion of my younger life, I just didn't talk. I didn't do it. I mean, I really would just not speak. And so, you know, things would be happening around me, and I just didn't say anything. And so now I notice as I'm stepping out and doing this more and saying what I really think or saying no to things that I don't want and voicing an opinion and having an opinion, there still is that part of me that is worried about what other people are going to think. Even when I'm acting out on things that I know are right or that I know are right for me, I should say, there's still this part of me that is still kind of petrified about what is going to be the result. What, you know, can I take responsibility for the karma that this decision is making, is creating? And it seems to me that the trouble I get into is I'll think that I'm willing to accept the karma, but I'm actually kind of in denial. I think that the other person is just, of course, going to see what I see and agree with me, and then everything will be fine. And then when the person doesn't see what I see or is slow to see what I see or whatever, then there's just this crushing feelings come in, and it's, you know, it's not good.
Right. Well, you know, it seems to me like there are several pieces of this that have gotten kind of mushed together.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a part of you who is afraid of what people think.
Right.
And that part of you actually exists in her own sphere, regardless of what's going on.
Mm.
Now, periodically, her world, so, you know, there she is in her little circle, and periodically, the person who is practicing making her own decisions and being her own authority, her sphere overlaps the sphere of the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems like the two things have something to do with one another.
Yeah.
But they really don't.
They don't?
No. Well, I don't know. The way I'm seeing it, they don't.
Yeah.
Because it's not like the one who is worried about what other people think, she's really worried about what? Rejection or judgment or criticism?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah. I mean, not really the criticism, kind of not being liked. I mean, you know, saying the right thing and not being liked. Like, one thing that can come to mind, you know, very quickly is I remember being in seventh grade and really liking a boy and, you know, wanting to ask him to this dance, but he was half African-American, and where I went to school, that was completely unacceptable, and I didn't ask him, and I ended up going to the dance with someone that I really couldn't stand instead of going with the guy that I knew that, you know, we always talked every day. We were great friends, you know, but I couldn't go to a dance with him. I mean, that was just out of the question. And so, like, not acting on that, knowing what everyone's reaction was going to be. I mean, that's like a very dramatic example, but that's still the feeling that I get, that feeling of everyone else, I will be going against what everyone else thinks by saying this thing that I know is right. Do you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And not being accepted and maybe possibly, you know, being ostracized or just disliked even, just, you know, being different, I guess.
So now this brings up another really interesting point to me. So, first of all, we can guess that this person is young.
Right.
Okay, so she's very young. And you're not.
Right.
Okay. So there's that piece of it.
Right.
That if you let a very young person make those kinds of choices for you,
mm-hmm.
To me, the mistake that is, not that there are any such things as mistakes, but the opportunity that's lost is for you to mentor her.
Mm-hmm.
Because don't you wish you had had somebody older and wiser who would say to you, well, you know, you might make this choice now for you and your friend.
Right.
But before long, you're really going to want to look at that.
Right.
Because that's an ugly system that separates
right.
people. And, you know, so you could mentor that part of you
mm-hmm.
at this point. And perhaps what you would decide is you don't really care.
Right.
Because here's the thing. If people like you because they think you're somebody you're not,
right.
they don't like you anyway.
Right.
So you have to try to pretend like you're somebody who only likes white boys.
Right.
But deep down inside, you know that that's not true.
Right.
And so you're creating this charade so that people will give you conditional approval.
Right. Right, and yeah, and that happens all the time. Like, I mean, or it happened more frequently in the past. I mean, where it could even be the opposite, where, you know, like, you know, everyone dislikes so-and-so, and I really like so-and-so, you know, that kind of thing, and I'm trying to show them, no, this person's, you know,
that's right.
and, you know, shutting down again, like just yeah. that shutting down of,
right.
of
which is not
you know, and feeling empty because I didn't act on great, they like me. This group of people likes me. Well, who cares?
That's why I don't like them, actually.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it gets back to that pesky thing that it always gets back to, which is coming back to center, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And mentoring the people who are young and afraid of peer pressure and those kinds of social issues.
Right.
Because from center, it's not really necessary for us to choose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can know that there are all of these people and they have all of these different viewpoints, and our job is to find the place that's compassionate for all.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But when we don't come to center, when we come to conditioning, then we're constantly left in this place of, well, this works for that part of me, but it doesn't work for that part of me. You know, we're back to Rebecca was talking about that dualistic view. So that person is happy, that part of me, but then this part of me is miserable. So,
right.
I really don't have any choice but to shut down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just not gonna express anything. So maybe you'll know. But inside, of course, I'm completely miserable because I'm letting an aspect of the personality try to orchestrate my life via all of these other aspects of personality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just never going to lead to anything but suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So
and then
I think, like I alluded to,
there's this trick where, like, conditioning comes in and says, yeah, go ahead, say what you're going to say. We'll accept the karma for that, sure. You know, but it's a trick. It's still sending in, I think, as you said, and I have an experience of that, it's sending the young girl in to do it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, somebody
go ahead, little vulnerable girl, go do this thing. You'll be fine. But it's like a setup because it's not really coming from center. It's coming from this other part. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So she gets set up, she does it, and then there are the consequences, and everybody bails out, and she's left feeling awful. So, yeah. The job is clear, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mentor.
And for you
mentor.
To really move into that place and talk to all these folks. Well, I hear that you're upset about that, and I hear that you're concerned about that. And of course, the main thing that happens when we come to center is we don't let conditioning call the shots and then beat people up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, somebody says to her, well, now all these people hate you. And you can, you know, it's your job to mentor her through that.
Right.
Because it's true. Conditioned people are always going to hate.
Yeah.
So it just, you get to choose what of you they hate.
Right.
They could hate you for being so broad-minded, understanding, and accepting.
Right. Right. Not bad.
Yeah.
Great.
All right.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Lisa. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have another caller.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to welcome Jen from Pennsylvania. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening. Sherry, hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hey there.
Hi. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You sound a little far away. I can't hear you that well.
Well. Now you're number three of three callers who have had trouble hearing us. So I'm thinking that there might be something going on.
There could be.
Yeah. Well, so in Austin, maybe it was thunderstorms, and in Philadelphia, it sounded like the line was cutting out, and so I think we have a constant here.
Okay.
It's us.
Well, I am just looking at. I think I'm seeing a process that I do, no matter where I am, which is sort of finding a reason to be unhappy and stressed out about whatever my current job happens to be.
Isn't it easy when we get it narrowed down like that?
Yeah.
I'm serious. It really is, isn't it?
Isn't it what?
I mean, in the sense that I hate every car I have.
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought it was because it was that crummy old Datsun. And then I just knew it was because it was an American car. And then I had something about every car I've ever owned. And then one day it dawns on me, you know, there seems to be a theme here. I seem to get some sort of process going about my cars. That's helpful.
Yeah, you're right. It is helpful. And yet it still it feels, you know, difficult in the moment, because now that I'm seeing that, I want to of course change that process a little bit and maybe come to a process of enjoying the jobs that I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the difficulty, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you didn't have conditioning,
mm-hmm.
which is just a lovely big if to contemplate. Which,
it is.
It's not true for any of us, but if we didn't have conditioning, then you would realize, wow, you know, this probably has nothing to do with the job. This has something to do with what the way I'm approaching it. Wow. I'm going to figure out what that is. This is really exciting. This is really empowering. I'm going to figure out what goes on with me and work, so that I don't have to suffer over this anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It is, that is exciting, really.
But what conditioning does with it is, okay, you need to figure this out so that you can get over it.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And that's not as exciting and empowering.
No, it's not at all. Yeah. Yeah, and I've been getting a lot of the conditioned messages of, you know, what my coworkers think of me, because I, you know, feel that I haven't acted appropriately, because I've been sort of acting from a place of this, you know, the various miseries of content that I've been feeling at the job. Yeah, but it's funny. I mean, every now and then I sort of do get a moment of being able to see past it, when I'll be doing something and really feeling good, like really enjoying an interaction with somebody, or, you know, like getting some work done and it feels great. And it's, you know, it's like kind of like I'm not supposed to see that part. Like, wait a minute, this feels good to be here at my work being productive and doing whatever.
Uh-huh.
So that's been interesting.
Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then conditioning just goes into a big rant about something, right? So it can kind of gloss that over and get you back on the track of, nope, this is awful and you hate it and it's miserable. And
yeah, really quickly. It closes right back over and I'm back to, you know, one of the content pieces right now is just really a lot of anger toward another coworker. And I've been looking at that, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of it is, you know, is my own projections of what standard I think, you know, people who are at work need to, you know, be hard workers and be responsible and do these things. And the messages are all that she's not doing those things. So I can see that it's my projections, and, you know, and really that I make myself miserable with the same stuff by trying to be, you know, the most responsible and the most hardworking. Or I'm either doing that or I'm hating her because I think she's not doing that. So, I mean, I just feel a little stuck, because I feel like I can sort of see what's going on, but yet I haven't been able to move any further than that place, and I really would like to.
So here's the thing. You get it that this process is what's making you miserable, right?
Yes, yes.
It's not her.
Yeah, yeah, I know, it's not her, because like I said, I started to realize, like, there was always a her or a event or a situation, or, yeah, so I can see, no matter where I was, there's been something that played this part, yeah.
Yeah, and so it really goes back to what we were talking about with Rebecca, with the email I sent out, and that whole thing about being victimized by the media. You know, you pick up the newspaper, or you turn on the television, and here are these people who are presenting information in a way that's designed to provoke or produce a particular reaction.
Yeah.
Okay? So you've got your own little media group right there.
Yes.
Right? And what it's doing is, what that voice is doing, is just keeping you revved up all the time.
Yeah, there's always something that I'm angry about, or I'm upset about, or I'm not doing good enough, or I've got to get really nervous about speaking to those people. Yeah, I can see that little media group going on here.
Yeah. So there's a, you know, you've got this media group over here at the desk next to you. And all day long, they're running over to your desk and saying something upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what she's doing. Look at that. Can you believe it? Can you believe that? I can't believe that. I mean, she is so irresponsible.
That's exactly what happens. I'll notice, oh, my gosh, she's been on break for more than her time. And, I mean, I'm just obsessing sometimes about her
behavior.
You're
not really noticing it. That's what I want you to notice.
Okay.
You're being given the information.
Yes.
Look at her. Look at that. Look how she's been gone. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, my God, you're going to have to talk to those people. What are you going to... What? So there's the anxiety producing.
Yes.
Okay. And then there's the, oh my God, it's always going to be like this. You know, why can't you ever just find a job that you like? Does work always have to be miserable? Aren't there people who enjoy their jobs? You hear that one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
So, you're doing a pretty great imitation of everything that I'm being told, you know, all day long, yes.
Yes. Okay, and you know, of course, how I can do that, right?
Because you've experienced that, too?
Everybody.
Because everybody experiences it, okay.
Everybody experiences exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we could be talking about a relationship. We could be talking about an illness. But that... You know, I'm mad, I'm depressed, I'm sad, I'm afraid, I'm anxious. You know, all of that emotional stuff, you know, we all go through it. And it all happens in exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
That conditioned mind is creating it. And so if you think it's you, then that's one life situation.
Yes, right? And I spend a fair amount of time there before I'm able to snap out and realize... Wait, maybe this isn't me, but it gets really compelling sometimes, and it feels like it's me, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's going to be what I'm going to encourage you to focus on. So if you, if we called it, what could we call conditioned mind? Something, this is what I want you to do. Do you work at a desk?
I do, most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, so I want you to put something on your desk, to come up with something on your desk that says to you, like, what's the troublemaker doing now? Now, of course, that could make a coworker paranoid.
Right.
You probably couldn't say that. But some way that you're going to refer to this media, like, what's the media group up to now?
Mm-hmm.
That could be innocuous enough, you know. Of course, you'd have to come up with a way to explain it.
Yes.
And you know, I am fully supportive of lying.
Okay.
So, you know, you just say whatever you want to say to whomever.
Okay.
But if that works for you, what's the media group up to now? And then you could say, oh, you know, I'm just noticing how society is being influenced by what goes on in the, you know, and their eyes will glaze over and they'll walk off because they don't want to talk to you about that.
Interesting.
So you put that right on your desk.
Okay.
And every time you read it, and you could, you know, put a couple of them around different places on your dashboard of your car. And what it's going to train you to do is look to see what kind of rant or what kind of upset or what kind of whatever conditioned mind is trying to talk you into at that moment.
Yeah. Well, you know, the response I'm getting right now, even hearing you say that, is there's a voice that's saying, but shouldn't I talk to my boss about this injustice that she's not doing her work? I mean, I can't just ignore this. It, you know, so it's getting compelling again all of a sudden.
That's right. Okay, now we're going to have to talk about this next week after you check it out, okay? So you caught on to it. You heard it saying that.
Yes.
And the answer to that is, no, actually I don't. I need to come back here to being a happy person enjoying what I'm doing.
Okay.
Okay? So keep a little log for us, okay, and report back next week, all right?
Okay. Thank you so much, Sherry and Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us again. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio.
She's going to have a fun and exciting week.
Yes, and we will hear next week what happens.
That's right. I can't wait.
Me too.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Bye.